good. Thank you so much. I've got a new friend with me tonight. Presented on the occasion of the TRBC 50th anniversary by your deacons and members, April 27th, 2008. So we're becoming better friends all the time. That old friend this morning, he had to go back to bed for a while, but we'll bring him back out again. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 3, if you would. Joshua, the third chapter. That was a great message in music. We appreciate that, Angela. Joshua, the third chapter. I want to read just one verse. The Bible says in verse 4, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." So he's talking about tomorrow. This is a message that God is giving to Joshua. God gave to Joshua. And they're about ready to cross the much anticipated crossing of the Jordan River. They had come out of Egypt 40 years before. They had come through the wilderness 40 years. A whole generation had died in that wilderness. A leader had died, Moses. A new leader had come forward after the death of Moses. His name, of course, was Joshua. And God instructs Joshua in chapter 1. He said, "My servant is dead. Now arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea, going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." He's given them a place. He's given them a promise of his presence. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." He's given them a place. He's given them a promise of his presence. He's given them a promise of prosperity. He says, "I'm going to make you prosper. I'm going to make your way prosperous. Be strong. Don't be afraid," he said to the people. Now, that's what he commanded to Joshua. And then Joshua commanded, verse 10, the people, and said, "We're going to pass through and get ready, get prepared." And then in chapter 3, the text we've read, God continues to command them and give them marching orders. And he says there's going to be a space between the Levites and the covenant of the Lord which they bear. And he said, "You've not passed this way heretofore." These are uncharted waters as far as you're concerned. You've not been this way. This is a new journey, a new chapter in your pilgrimage, a new chapter to the story of your journey. And it must have been exciting. It must have been greatly exciting. They'd been anticipating this 40 years, and they had seen a whole generation die because of disobedience and unbelief. And now this new generation, ready to follow their new leader, Joshua, ready to inherit the promised land, the place and the possession that God had assured them of, and then the prosperity. He said, "I'm going to make your way prosperous. I'm going to do it for you." So it must have been exciting. But it was a journey. It was a journey. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, Paul talks about journeys. In fact, I'll read it here in just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. Listen to what he says. He says, "I have been," giving a personal testimony, he said, of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's verse 24. Verse 25, thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often. He was on the go. He was always on the move. He was an itinerant preacher. He was a missionary, an apostle, a church planter. He didn't stay in one place hardly any longer than 2 or 3 years was the most he was ever known to stay in one place. And he had another town to go. So when Paul says, I was in journeys, as well as being in all of these places of danger and near-death experiences, left for dead on one occasion, he talks as one who knew what it was to be on the move for God, in journeys often. Our life is like a journey. Remember what the poet said, Robert Frost? He said, as he stood looking at a wonderful panoramic picture of a silent forest, he said, whose woods are these? I think I know his house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. That is his horse. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep and miles to go before I sleep. He'd like to pause there. He'd like to capture the moment and just freeze it for an indefinite amount of time. He said, it's so still, it's so quiet, it's so beautiful, it's so serene. Just me, my horse who shakes his bell to make sure I haven't made a mistake, and just the lake, just the wonderful view. Well, life is like that way sometimes, but most often, as the poet concluded, but I have promises to keep and miles to go. I've got a journey yet ahead. I can't pause here very long. I've got miles to go before I sleep. There are still uncharted waters for me. I like what Pastor Brad said. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We know that. We don't know what our journey is going to be tomorrow. We don't know where it's going to take us. We don't know the twists and turns in the road ahead, but we know that His word will give us light step by step. It's a lamp unto our feet. Our feet, as we take one step and move one step forward, that lamp gives us light for the way ahead. We certainly don't know the twists and turns. We did not know, standing here last Sunday night, how our journey would unfold this week. But early Monday morning, 12:15, our whole church was impacted by a twist and turn in the road that was unforeseen by anybody but God alone. Unforeseen by anybody. Not anticipated. It was a breathtaking. It was a dangerous. It was a turn that had us all holding our breaths. We had to trust God for the light, for the next step, and the next step, and the step ahead every day this week. And so it will be for the week ahead. We don't know what's going to be out there. We don't know what's going to be down in the valley, the shadow of death. Or maybe up on the mountaintop of God's wonderful sunlight and blessings. Praise God, we've been there before. We'll go there again. We just don't know what our journey is going to have ahead this week. Let's pray that it will not be like the Israelites. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. This generation that I've alluded to that spent a whole 40 years in the wilderness, their journey was one of just no progress. And as we read in the book of Hebrews, they didn't make any progress on their journey. It was not God's fault. It was not because He did not want to lead them and show them the way. He certainly did that. But it's because of their unbelief. They heard the message. Moses was a faithful prophet. He was a good leader. And they heard his message. They had God's word. God's word had been given to them. But they just had a heart of unbelief, a stubborn, rebellious heart of unbelief. And so the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, these be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain of which over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey. This is a parenthetic statement. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. It came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. So in other words, Moses is telling us here so that we cannot mistake it. It took them 40 years to get from one place to the other, from Horeb unto Kadesh Barnea. It was a 40 years journey, but it was simply an 11 days journey. There are 11 days journey. Notice the word journey there in verse 2. There are 11, it's italicized, but that's the meaning. 11 days journey from point A to point B, that if they had followed God's leading in faith and looked at the light before them, they could have gone a straight path. 11 days. What a tragedy. What a tragic thing. What a waste of 40 years. What a waste of millions of people. Scholars say 2 million people came out of Egypt the night of redemption. 2 million people. And all of them, except a couple, three people, died in the wilderness because of unbelief. They heard the same message. They heard God's messenger, Moses, a prophet. But the Bible says in Hebrews, they did not hear the word of God mixed with faith. They had no faith in their heart. They just were people of unbelief. So as we go on this journey as pilgrims passing from here to there, we can just go around in circles if we choose to. We can hear the Bible preached. We can hear the Word of God. We can read it. We can listen to messages and challenges and devotions. And we cannot have it mixed with faith and have hearts that are hardened and stubborn. And we want to go our way, and we think this path is a better path, and so we do not follow God's leadership. We do not make His Word a lamp unto our feet. And so instead of making progress, we just go round in circles and spend a whole lifetime getting nowhere spiritually. That's a tragedy. God wants to lead us into green pastures beside still waters. And in pleasant places and in productive places, but we choose rather to go our way in our journey as these people did their 11 days journey from Horeb. Maybe God would make a parenthetic statement in your life or my life. I had this planned. This was His journey. This was her course set out. But she never realized it. He never got there. He just spun his wheels for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 30 years. 10 years would be a shame. Let's go on. Number two, when we journey with the Lord, we've got to get our orders from Him. The last word in Exodus, go to the book of Exodus, the last chapter. The last word in Exodus is the word journey. This is the theme of my message, as you know. Journeying. Paul said, I've been in journeyings often, and we are too in 2009. We're on a journey. Our destination is to finish the course. That's what we're trying to do. We want to finish the course set before us. Our final destination is heaven, of course, when we are graduated to the Lord. But between now and then, we've got a trip to take. We have miles to go, as it were, before we sleep in Jesus. Miles to go. And notice what it says here in verse 36 of Exodus 40. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not. This cloud represents the glory of God. Notice in verse 34, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It was a physical representation of God's presence, of His glory. It was manifested in a cloud that came down and filled the tabernacle after the tabernacle was completed and as it was dedicated. And when that cloud rested on and in the tabernacle, the children of God rested. And when the cloud got up and moved, it was like God moving and saying, follow me. So it says, if the cloud were not taken up, verse 37, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night. That's another symbol or representation of God's person and presence in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That's how God led them. Now that cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, the literal presence of God, abides within us tonight. The Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in us this evening. He's tabernacled in flesh, as it were. And so we don't have to look for a visible, demonstrative representation of God's presence. He is with us. He said, I'm going to be with you and I will be in you, He said in John chapter 14. He's here tonight. He's within us this evening. So all we have to do is say, Lord, where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do today? Get into His Word and listen to His voice as He speaks to us and follow His leading. And I want to guarantee you that He will not lead you into a place where you're going to be transgressing the Word of God. He will lead you into righteous places. He will lead you righteously. He will lead you to do good to all men. He will lead you to places of prayer and places of service. He will lead you to serve Him. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He will lead you. His leading will be definite. His leading will be direct. His leading will be on the basis of the Word of God. But He will lead us just as definitely as He led these people when the cloud moved and they saw it, and when the cloud stopped and they stopped and camped there a day or two or a week or a month or 2 months. They stayed as long as the cloud stayed, and when the cloud moved, when God said, it's time to get up and go, they got up and went. Would to God we would follow His leading that way today. Listen, you better not get up and go unless God says get up and go. I don't care where you're going. You going across the street or across town or out of state or wherever you... in all our ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. And if you get up and go, when God says, I didn't tell you to get up and go, you're going to put yourself in a dangerous place out there. And if you stay when God says go, you're going to put yourself in a dangerous place staying where He says, I don't want you to be here. Better move. Get out of here. I told you about Henry DeVee, the deacon, great man of God when I was here early in my ministry, and now in glory, of course. But he said he went home one day, and after a long day of hard work, he was one of those, he worked for IP&L, and he climbed poles. He was a troubleshooter, pole man, and he was a big man, and he worked hard. And so he said, I came home one day, and I laid down tired on my couch to rest, and the Lord seemed to say, Henry, there's somebody down at the hospital that needs to see you. Well, he didn't want to in the flesh. He didn't want to go. But he got up and went. And got up and went and led a lady to Christ in the hospital. Because he got up and went when God said, get up and go. Listen, we can follow the leadership of the Lord. It's always good. He will direct our paths. The third thing I notice in the Bible when I study about journeys is this. Our journey is a journey of faith. Would you go to Mark chapter 10, please? Or Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew 10. Our journey is a journey of faith. We walk not by sight, but we walk by faith, the Bible says. Look at it here. When Jesus was sending His disciples out, notice verse 5 of chapter 10 of Matthew. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. By the way, He sent us forth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He has sent us forth just like He sent these 12 forth. He's given us a command to go. And as He commanded them, He said several things. One of the things He said is in verse 10, don't take any scrip for your journey. Aha. Now this was a definite, particular command to these disciples at this time, but it was to them He was saying, just go by faith and trust Me. The Bandas are raising support to go back to Zambia as missionaries. And We have a lot of missionaries that we support. And these missionaries may raise support, but that support is going to take them to the field. They're not going to be established as missionaries because they have X number of dollars per month supporting them. They're going to be established because they're walking by faith. Now, it does take money. They've got to pay for tickets, and they've got to pay rent, and they've got that all. We all know that. But if they do not have faith to believe that God is going to meet their needs and supply their needs, they might as well just stay home. As well as we might as well just not support them. We got to have the same kind of faith here to live 1 week to the next. And so Jesus was just teaching His disciples an elementary fundamental lesson in discipleship. When you go on this journey, trust me. And to demonstrate it dramatically with these 12, He said, don't even take any money with you. Would you like to start out on a trip and not take any purse or not take any billfold or not take any plastic or credit card with you? Well, most of us wouldn't. I've done that a few times in my life, and it's challenging, to say the least. I started out on a trip when I was in college up to the mountains of North Carolina to work in the weekend in ministry, youth ministry. And I had about that much gas in my tank. It was a Volkswagen. It would go quite a ways, but it wouldn't go that far. I needed about that much, and I had that much. I didn't have any money in my billfold, but I had faith in God. And you know something? I got up to the mountains, which is a couple hours drive, and I got back that Sunday evening, and I didn't. I did run out of gas, by the way. I've got to admit that. I've got to tell the story straight. I did run out, but the Lord supplied my need, and I didn't go begging. I didn't have to say, anybody, would you help me get some gas? God put the money in my hand. He does that, by the way. And I'm not saying I'm going to tempt God the next time. If I've got some money, I'm going to get some gas. Amen. But I didn't have any money as a student at Bob Jones, and I just went because I knew I was supposed to go. And so we can do that. He said, don't take any script for your journey. And no matter what we have as we journey from here to heaven, doesn't matter how much you have or don't have, we need faith in God to supply our needs. Faith in a bank account is going to get you nowhere. Faith in X number of dollars for support a month is going to get you nowhere. Faith in a salary and income is going to get you nowhere in this journey. From here to heaven, faith in God will get you everywhere you need to go. Number four, here's another thing I want to say about our journey from here to there is, looked in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. God, would you teach us about being good pilgrims? Being good travelers. Notice in Luke chapter 15, I don't have time to go into the whole story, but this is the story of the prodigal son who went on a journey. Verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Uh-oh. By the way, we learned a new word yesterday. It was a Hebrew word. Dr. Les Olala. Dr. Olala. He's a learned man. He said, there's a new word you can learn it here. So it was in this particular case, it was, I think, Old Testament. He said, uh-oh. That's a new word. Uh-oh. It's pretty good. Have you ever said that before? Well, I'm sure this young man might not have said it, but we can say that as we read the story, knowing the whole story, he took his journey into a far country. Uh-oh. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. We need to stay away from that kind of a journey. We need to say, oh God, help me not to go on that trip. We need to pray for our young people. They will have enough guidance and grace from God to spare themselves of that trip. We know where it ended up. It ended up in a pig pen. He got as low as he could go. What a sad trip. What a sad journey. Some of us could look back and say, I went that route once. I've been there. I went as far as I could go on that road of riotous living, wasting my substance, wasting my father's substance, wasting the goodness of God that had been shoveled my way, wasting opportunities, wasting time, wasting my body, wasting my life. I have the marks to bear in my body for it. I have been there! And I wouldn't recommend anybody go that way. It's a dead-end street. But it was a journey that he took into a far country, far away from God, far away from home, far away from anybody that knew him, far away from preaching, far away from Sabbath worship, far away from a loving Father. It was a bad trip. It was a terrible trip. It was so sad. Finally came to his senses, praise God, and said, I'll arise and go back to my father. Wonderful, but wouldn't it have been better had he been spared the heartache and heartbreak for himself and his dad and his family? Well, I did it. It's all right. Huh? Oh, I don't. It's just a piece of ice. We'll let it melt. Uh-oh. Thank you. Was that Charlie? Gotta be Charlie. Uh-oh. So, you can laugh a little bit too, can't we? Far journey. Well, this guy wasn't laughing when he came to himself. Thank God for a compassionate father that had compassion on him. Well, let's go on. Would you go to John chapter 4? Let me tell you something else about our journey. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jesus took a journey. Well, he journeyed from heaven to earth and back to heaven again. But while he was here upon this earth, his journey took him through villages down by the seashore. His journey took him across the Lake of Galilee. His journey took him into little towns where there had been no witness, towns where people sat in darkness. On this one occasion, it says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He left Judea, verse 3 of John 4, and departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. The Bible says in verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about noon, we would say. He was wearied in the journey. It's translated with the journey, but I think it means he was just tired. He was physically worn out. It was noon. It was the heat of the day. He had been walking for some time. He was going a direct route to where he was going, but it was not the way that his disciples would have chosen that he go. But Jesus had to go through this place because of, we know, a woman there that he had to wanted to witness to, had a divine appointment with. But in our journey, as we serve God, even as Jesus did, there's going to be time when we're just going to be weary. Not weary of it, but weary in it. Just weary in the walk. Weary in the work. Just weary in the way. You ever been weary? I was this week. I'll be honest. I was mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually exhausted Monday evening. Somebody came by the church this week and they asked me this morning, were you all right this week? They came by, and I don't know what day, early in the week. And they said, you didn't look like you felt good. I didn't. I was just weary. You were too. Because we carry a load. We carry a burden. We are community. We are family. I told somebody that when I saw Matt suffering, it was like my own flesh and blood. And it was. And it cheers too. Family ties in the body of Christ are a stronger sometimes than flesh and blood ties. That wears you down if you go through that. And then not just one person, but here's another person. There are the Murrays, and here's another person. Here's another person. There's another. And it, if you're not revived through the Word of God and through fellowship with Jesus, you become totally wiped out. So I was weary. Jesus was weary in the journey. And you're going to get weary in the journey. He was refreshed. You know what refreshed was? Witnessing this woman and preaching to her and giving her the truth and the disciples could brought back food so that he'd get nourishment and be strong. And he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And when we get weary in the journey, we just need to get refreshed through fellowship with Him, through resting sometimes, just coming apart and getting by ourselves and shutting the world out with Jesus alone and just getting our spiritual resources built up again. That's what we need to do. Jesus was weary in the journey. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Another thing about the journey that we see in the Word of God is this. Paul gives us insight here. And God wants this for all of us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, making request, this is his prayer for the people to whom he wrote in Rome, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Underline that word, prosperous journey. In Genesis chapter 24, when Abraham's servant was sent to get a wife for Abraham's son Isaac, he went as he had been instructed to do and listened to his testimony. In Genesis 24, the man wondering at her held his peace when he saw this beautiful young woman coming. And he looked at her. He said, I wonder, could this be the wife for Isaac, my master's son? I wonder. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. God wants us to have a prosperous journey. He wants us to have a prosperous journey. Paul was praying, oh God, give me a prosperous journey by the will of God as I come to you. And that ought to be our prayer. But, oh Lord, make my, as he said to Joshua when he got the people of Israel ready to go across Jordan, he says, I want to make your way prosperous. And the way he did it was as they stayed in the book, this book of the law shall not depart out of them, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou shalt make thy way prosperous. God wants us to have a prosperous journey. And we only have a prosperous journey as we follow His leadership. How's your journey coming along? Are you having a good trip? Is it a good journey? Are you enjoying the trip? Oh, I'm not saying, have you ever gotten tired? No, but I'm saying, is this a journey? Is this an exciting journey for you? It should be. It should be. It's a journey serving God. And it's just a short span compared to eternity. Just a short span of life. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and our journey will be over. We will be like Paul. I'm coming to the end of the way. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course, he said. I can see the end up there. You'll come to the same place one of these days, maybe sooner than we think. We don't know. It might be before this time next week. Some of us come to the end of our trip here. Journey over. I'm glad we have a GPS system that will not fail us every step of the way. We can look back and say, oh, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me. We can sing today and again tomorrow and again the next day as God allows us. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Man that wrote that was William Williams. He was a Wales preacher. He traveled 100,000 miles by horseback. When God called him to preach, he said, I'm going to not stay any one place. I'm going to go everywhere I can in Wales. And so over the next, I don't know how many years, 4 years maybe, he rode his horse from one place to the other, preaching the gospel. 100,000 miles. And he's the one that penned the words, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. May that be our prayer in 2009. May we say, oh God, I'm I'm a pilgrim. I'm short-sighted too many times. I must walk by faith, not by sight. I must follow the light of Your Word. I want to seek You with my whole heart so that You will direct my paths. I want a prosperous journey, Lord. I'm going to get tired, but when I do, I'm going to draw upon You for strength, renewed strength from Your Word. I want to stay away from that journey into a far country. I want to keep on the right path. Help me this year, Lord, in this journey. Father in heaven, would You help each one of us in our journey from here to heaven? We don't want to take detours that You've not ordained. We don't want to chase rabbit trails that get us nowhere. We don't want to spend 40 years going around in circles, wasting a life of opportunities. We want a journey that counts for Christ, a prosperous journey. A journey that would take us into paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Lord, direct our steps, guide and guard us on the way of life. Till we get to the place where we can say with Paul, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. May that be the prayer and the testimony of every person here tonight. I covet for young people here tonight who are facing life as young people. Oh, the challenges are monumental. The obstacles to serving God could be overwhelming, but I pray that every step of the way they will do as Solomon bid his young son to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. And sometimes we'll come to a fork in the road. We won't know which way to go, God, but You'll direct us. You'll use the counsel of a godly friend. You'll use a circumstance. You'll put a roadblock up to keep us from going one way so that we'll have to go the other. If we'll just trust You, help us, O God, to be faithful pilgrims in Jesus' name. Amen.